Okay, this week we are doing Parshas Vayakel, Rabbeinu Bachai and Parshas Vayakel. Okay, so as always, Rabbeinu Bachai starts off with a pasuk from Mishlei, and this week says, Echol b'ni devash ki tov v'nofes masuk al chikecha, which means you should eat honey, which is good, and drops of honey because it's so sweet. Kein dea chachma l'nafshecha. So too, a chachma, wisdom, is for your soul. So Rabbeinu Bachai explains that Shlomo HaMelech is giving us the mashal here that, of course, honey is our example of the sweetest thing we have that we could think of. So just like honey is sweet to your physical body, so too, Chachma, Torah, is the sweetest thing to your neshama. You know, there's a famous speech that Rav Gifter gave about Pacha, that when he first got to Europe, he was American, and when he got to Europe to study Torah in yeshiva, there wasn't a lot of options in Tells. They didn't have as much food as they do in America. And on Shabbos, the place he ate, all they had was pacha, which he thought was absolutely disgusting. But as the weeks went on, being that that's all they had to eat every Shabbos, he got to like it, and eventually he loved it. And he used to say in his speeches that Torah is similar. When you first start learning, it may not be enjoyable, but the more you get used to it, the more it becomes enjoyable to you once you overcome your initial, the rough part at the beginning when you get into learning. But after that, it becomes enjoyable. And he said that's like the pacha of Torah, that eventually you get used to things, and then it becomes enjoyable to you. But this is not really saying that. The Rabbeinu Bachai is, to me anyway, saying that just like honey is sweet to you, Torah is sweet to your soul. Not necessarily to you and your entire you. Your body may not enjoy it, but it's sweet to your neshama. And that's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. It's escaping me now where. But the Aruch HaShulchan says the same thing, that I believe it's when he's talking about learning on Tisha B'Av. That even if you say, we're not allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av because it's enjoyable. So you'll say, well, it's not enjoyable to me. The Aruch HaShulchan says, no, it is. It's enjoyable to your soul. So that's what Rabbeinu Bachai is saying here, that learning Torah is as enjoyable to your soul as honey is to your tongue. And then the Rabbeinu Bachai goes on to say that Shlomo HaMelech is generally, throughout trying to teach you to go away from your teva and go to your seichel. The teva is the baser parts of you, more animalistic parts. Stay away from that, because there's a part of us that wants that, and go to your more intellectual parts, the more spiritual parts, the higher parts, the seichel. The Ran in his drashos says that man was created on the same day as animals, because a person can become an animal. You aren't necessarily on a higher level than an animal. It depends how you act in life, what course your life takes. So Shlomo HaMelech is telling us to not follow the more animalistic parts of us, rather to follow your neshama. So, for instance, a person may not find it interesting to learn, or maybe easier to sleep, but that doesn't mean that's better. And his example is the famous example that I had always heard from Rav Yochanan Wasserman, but it's a famous example of the kernel. Rav Yochanan Wasserman had it in a different context, but when you take a wheat kernel, you may think a wheat kernel looks nice, I can roast it, I'll eat it. That's what your animalistic part of you would say. Your brain says, hey, if I plant this wheat kernel, it's going to grow into more wheat stalks, and I'll get 10 times that amount. And then I could grind it and make it into bread and all that stuff. So even though your body will say, just eat it now, your brain tells you, well, one second, I need food here. I can't just eat it. So even forgetting spiritual, your brain and your body don't always agree, right? So you have to follow your brain, because otherwise you'll be destroyed, even in this world. And he says that the Torah teaches us all these stories of what happens to tzaddikim and what happens to rishayim to let us know that you have to be looking ahead. In other words, even at times things don't go well for the tzaddik at the beginning, in the end they do, and the opposite for the rishayim. And you need to look at everything with a long view. But the short version of all that is that you have to, the main way to be, to change yourself from a behemoth, an animal, to something spiritual, to a malach. The human being can go either way, be a malach or be a behemah. The way to get yourself towards being a malach is by following your seichel, which is, as he explains, looking at your long-term goals. Don't give in to what is nice now. Use your brain like you would work so that you have money in the bank. You need to use your head to do Torah and mitzvos so you prepare for the long term and not for the short term. Okay, then the parsha begins Vayakel Moshe. So the Rabbeinu Bachai explains that the Torah mentions building the Mishkan many, many times. He counts it as five, in Truma and a little bit again in Kisisa, and then here in Vayakel, he has it, if you could look it up inside if you want, but he counts it as five times. The Torah discusses building the Mishkan, which he says is all derech chiba, a way of Hashem showing love to it, like he mentions in a famous pasuk in Bamidbar, Yisrael's name five times in one pasuk, apparently something with that number five, but it's a way of showing Hashem's chiba towards it. But then it comes on to talk about Shabbos. And this is fascinating, the things he says here. It says, Sheshes yamim teyasem alacha. In other words, teyasem alacha means that work will be done. Sheshes yamim tasem alacha would be 6 days you should work. Teyasem alacha is that 6 days work will be done. So he says that that is telling you that when the Jewish people are doing Ritzono Shamakam, are doing what Hashem says, then their work will just be done. Not by them, will be done by others. And when they are not doing Ritzono Shamakam, so then not only will their work not get done, they'll have to do it, they'll have to do other people's work. So if the Klal Yisrael is following what Hashem says, their work will be done by others and they'll have more time for spiritual pursuits. If they aren't doing Ritzono Shamakam, they won't have time for spiritual pursuits, they won't get their own stuff done, and they'll have to be working on other people's stuff. And the fascinating part is when he talks about, it says, Lo Savar Reish B'chol Mosh V'Seichem, that you should not light a fire on Shabbos. So he asked the question that everybody who reads the Pasuk asks, what do you mean don't light a fire on Shabbos? There's so many malachas on Shabbos. There's lots of things you can't do on Shabbos. Why is it referring to Eish specifically? So we know a Chazal make a drasha, it's a machlokas, Tanaim, why it singles out Eish for various halachic reasons. Is it to tell you that lighting a fire on Shabbos is only a lav, or is it telling you that it's... The halachic things aside, Rabbeinu Bachai says the reason why the Torah mentions Eish is because the main malacha that humans do, the main way people affect this world and do their stuff is with fire. Whether it's coming to cooking today, electricity, everything runs on electricity. Even the old days, to melt metal down and to shape. Everything is done, the main malacha a person does is with fire. So the main shvisa from malacha, the main stopping of malacha is not doing fire. And he says, that's why on Motzei Shabbos, we first thing we do is we do Havdalah, we make a bracha on fire. We make the bracha Bar Yomer Eish. Obviously, that's not the reason we're all familiar with. We're all familiar with the reason of because that's on Motzei Shabbos, Hashem showed Adam HaRishon how to make fire. But that's not what Rabbeinu Bachai is saying here. He's saying a different pshat, more of the pashup pshat. He said that's why on Motzei Shabbos, first thing we do as soon as Shabbos is over is we light a fire, because that is the beginning of Malacha. And he says that's when the world was created, that was the first thing created, Vayhi Or, he says, is light and fire, Eish. And he also says, interestingly, that the four brachos in Havdalah, which are Bori Priya Gafen, Bori Mereya Eish, not in that order, Bori Priya Gafen, Bori Mene B'Samim, Bori Mereya Eish, and Hamavdim Kedosh Achol, they are all hinted to in the beginning of Bereshis. Again, some of this is Alpi Kabbalah, so I'm not going to explain it because I don't know it. I can just say the words that he says when it says Bereshis Baruch Lekim Es Shemayim Ves Aretz. Aretz refers to the Gan, which had Geffen in it, and that refers to Geffen. Okay, that's the part I can't relate to. Then the Atzei Besam, the Besamim comes from Viruach Elokim. Viruach is Reach, like the you smell through air, the wind. And then the Vayhi Or is this Eish. And it'll be Mavdil Bein Aor Bein HaChoshech is HaMavdil Bein Kadosh Hachol. Anyway, so he says that's a remez to Havdalah. But again, the point is that Eish is the Iker Malacha, so as soon as Shabbos is over, we light an Eish. Okay, next, he goes on to discuss when the Jewish people were asked to donate to the Mishkan. It says, Vayavo HaNashim Al HaNashim, which the Rabbeinu Bachai says means that the women came first. They came and the women were already there. So This is especially relevant because we know by the Egel Azav, the men asked the women to donate their necklaces and earrings and all this stuff, and the women refused. And when it came to the Mishkan, they were the first ones there. And we know necklaces and rings are not things men like. Men like that it's worth money, but it's mostly women who like these things. And for the Egel, they weren't willing to give. And for the Mishkan, they were the first ones there before the men. So this was a tremendous tzidkus on the part of the women. And because it happened on Rosh Chodesh, so Rosh Chodesh becomes a holiday for the women, that they are supposed to not do as malacha, certain types of malacha they don't do. And he quotes a Pirkei Rebbe Lazar that says that they were rewarded in this world and the next world. In this world, in Rosh Chodesh becomes their holiday. And in the next world, that they will be rejuvenated like Rosh Chodesh. I don't know exactly what that means. But anyway, just pointing out that it was a tremendous tzidkus of the women that not only didn't they give to the Egel, which was holiday enough, which was important enough, but when it came to the Mishkan, they were the first ones to give. Okay, then it goes on to say, V'chol, later, Kol Isha Chachmas Lev Yadea Tavu, the women who were wise, so they sowed. So the Rebbeinu Bechai says that this pasuk is teaching you that the main chachma of a woman is supposed to be in taking care of the gashmius of the house or of the family. In other words, Chazal told us, Chazal Aser, teaching a woman, at least Torah Shabbal Peh, and the mitzvah to teach your children says, Vishinamtin lohanecha v'lo livnosecha. Torah, the chachma of men is supposed to be in learning Torah. The chachma, the women's chachma, her wisdom should be applied to zrizus. He says zrizus b'tzarchei besa, having alacrity in whatever the physical needs of the house are. All the tzrachim of the house, everything that the house needs, that's what a woman's chachma is supposed to be involved in. Obviously, someone has to do both. So that's the way the Torah set it up, that the man's chachma is supposed to be in Torah, the woman's chachma is supposed to be in taking care of the house. Okay, then it goes on to say, Hanasim Heviyos Avnei Hashoam. The Nasim brought the Avnei Shoam. Those are the stones that were put on the Choshen, on the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. So Rabbeinu Bechai here says some very interesting things. First of all, he says that the reasons why the Nasim had to donate this is because the normal way a leader is that they have a little bit of gaiva, arrogance, over the people they are in charge of. So because of that, all the Nasim who were in charge of their Shevet, they had to give a stone that would be on the heart of the Kohen Gadol. It was a kapara for Gaivas Libam. Like we find by a king, it says the king is not supposed to be Levilti Rum Levavo. It's natural for a king to be a little bit arrogant over the people he rules. So this was a kapara for this, for the Nasim who would be in charge of their Shvatim. Their stones are on the Choshen as a kapara for the any Gaiva they may have. But we know the fact that they delayed was not good for them. In other words, the Nasim said, we're not going to donate anything. We'll wait till all of Klal Yisrael were asked to donate stuff to the Mishkan. So the Nasim, the heads of the Shvatim, said, we're not going to donate anything right now. We're going to let all the people donate, and whatever they don't give, we'll fill in the gaps. And it turned out that Bnei Yisrael donated everything. So all they had left were these Avnei HaShoam. And that was considered something bad. They're spelled, the Pasuk spells Nasim minus a Yud to show that it was something bad for them, that they didn't donate right away. And the Rabbeinu Bechai adds, Umikan onesh l'chol she'efshel aliyos min ha'kodmim b'mitzvah, ve'ino kodem. Anytime you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, all of us have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, and we say, we don't run to it. We say, all right, you know, someone else will get it. That's not good. That's what we're supposed to learn from the Nasim. We're supposed to learn from the Nasim. When you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, jump. Don't wait. Because you don't know if someone's going to take care of it or not. You don't say, I'll do whatever the leftovers are. When a mitzvah opportunity comes your way, you should jump. The fascinating thing he says as a Yesh Mishapirish, many of the Yesh Mishapirishes in the Rabbeinu Bechai, where he doesn't quote by name, he just says, someone had this Pirish. Incredible. So he says, I don't know who says this, but he says, some say that the Avnei Shoham, these stones that they put on the Kohen Gadol's Choshen, they were brought by miracle through clouds. Clouds brought these stones. As it says, the Hanasiim Heviyu Es Avnei Shoham. And the Nasiim brought the Avnei Shoham. What do you mean, Nasiim? There's a pasuk in Tehillim that says Ma'ale Nesiim Mikteh Haaretz, which we're familiar with. Ma'ale Nesiim means clouds. Ma'ale Nesiim Mikteh Haaretz, clouds. So it was Hanesiim Hevi, was Avnei Hashem. The clouds brought the Avnei Hashem that they were brought B'derech Nes. Okay. Rabbeinu Bechai goes on to discuss the pasuk mentions all the different kelim in the that were in the Mishkan, in the let's say the Kodesh and the so there was the Aron in the Kodesh Kadashim, the Aron, and there was the Shulchan, and there's the Menorah, and there's the Mizbeach HaKetaros, right? Those are the kelim that were in the Mishkan. So, I mean, in the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kadashim. So he says those four kelim, the Aron, Shulchan, Menorah, and Mizbeach HaKetaros, are a remez to the four letters of the Shem Hashem. Again, some of this is Kabbalah that I do not know, but some of it I can get. So I'll tell you the parts I get. The Shem Hashem is Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei. So he says the Aron is ten tvachim. That's the Yud. Can I get the Yud? The Shulchan is the second one. The second is connected to Hey, and the Mizbeach HaKetaros is connected to the last Hey. That is, he explains Alpi Kabbalah, which I do not understand, something to do with Midas Adin. And the Vav, the Menorah, is has six Kanim, six branches, so that's connected to the Vav, so that's the Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei. Those four Kalim are remes to the Shem of Hashem, and that's part of what he says, Betzalel. It says, Nu had to be Mitzarif, Osios, Maisa Shemai Varetz, Betzalel knew, understood the Kabbalistic workings of making the world, making the Mishkan. When he made the Mishkan, he understood very lofty things, so this is part of that. Okay, leave that there. Anyway, he quotes also a Medrash that says that by all of the Kalim, it says you should make singular, and by the Aron, it says, like V'asu Aron Atzishitim. So the reason it says it in plural is to let everyone know that the Torah is for everybody. It's not for an individual. There's no one who can claim any rights to it. The Torah is for everyone. Each person, every single individual in Klal Yisrael has a chelik in Torah. He also quotes also the Medrash that says that the Torah was given in the desert, just like a desert is hefker lakol, is hefker to everybody, so too the Torah is hefker lakol, meaning anyone who can come, who wants it, can come and claim it. Okay, so that's the V'asu. Then he discusses the kior, which was made out of the maros hatzovos, which were made out of the mirrors, which we all know, the mirrors that the women used to use in Mitzrayim, so the women donated the mirrors to make the kior. And so Chazal tell us that Moshe, when he saw these mirrors, he was originally said, nah, the mirrors are used to make the ladies look pretty for Yetzihara. I don't know, why, how can we make a keli for the Beis HaMikdash, for the Mishkan from this? And then Hashem said, no, actually, these are the best. So the reason they were considered the best is because through them, the Bnei Yisrael had many, many children. So the Rebbeinu Bechai asked the same question that everybody asked. The Ramban asked this. We have other kelim. When it says the women donated their jewelry, one of the jewelries they donated was a kumaz. And kumaz was a piece of jewelry that was boso makom, as kumaz stands for kan makom zima. So how come there, Chazal, nobody was by? Moshe said, okay, no problem, give me those. And when it came to mirrors, he said, oh, no, that's for the Yitzhara. So Rebbeinu Bechai and the Ramban, they both explained that the issue was that the kior was made exclusively from these mirrors. It wasn't just there was a mix of gold and every piece came from a little bit. The kior was made specifically from the mirrors, and that's why Moshe was hesitant to take them. But Hashem told him, no, you take them, because through that they were used for Kedusha, so that's appropriate. And as we know, the kior was used to bring shalom between a man and his wife, because the water for the sota water came from there. So that's why it was especially appropriate. And he also quotes that there are many Farshim say this, that including Uncleus, that the women who donated their mirrors, well, let's just quote others. The Ibn Ezra says that when the women donated their mirrors, they were being purished from Olam Hazeh. It was these women who were like done with Taiva. So they donated I think the Baal Turim says this too, they donated their mirrors because they were giving up on this world and Olam Hazeh. And it says, Asher Tzavu Pesach Ol Moed, which Uncle says they came to Davin. In other words, they were giving up their mirrors, and they would come to daven by the Ohel Moed. So that's how that fits. Asher Tovu Pesach Ohel Moed. The pasuk says they brought their maros hatovos. Asher Tovu Pesach Ohel Moed. They gave over their mirrors because they were given up on this world, and they would daven by Ohel Moed. They would live their lives in prayer. Well, if you look at the Targum Yonasan over there, you'll see that they prayed and then they went home, and then had many holy children. Okay. Just to end off, the Rabbeinu Bachai ends off the parsha by saying, Da, you should know, Ki asipir b'inina mishkan v'kelev. All this talk about the Mishkan and its kelev. And chakir b'tchunos tzerosav, figuring out exactly how it's made. And shir arkan v'rachman v'kamasna, all the details of how many cubits and how many tfachim it was made. Afal pishin b'is ha-migdash kayim, mitzvah gedoli. He says it's a big mitzvah to learn these things. Ad shamayim yegiyas chara, until the heavens its schar reaches. The Torah he v'lumad on utrichim, it's part of Torah, we have to learn it. And he says, why? Because just like we find by Karbanos, if you learn the dinim of Karbanos, it's as if you brought the Karbanos, that's what Chazal tell us. Someone who learns the Parsha of Ola, it's as if they brought an Ola. So too, says Rabbeinu Bachai, if you learn about the Mishkan and the Mikdash, so that's a schus as if you were helping in build it, to build it. And he says, certainly if you understand the Kabbalah behind it, of course, it's even more. But even just the Pashup Shat understanding of how it's made, so that's a schus as if you help build it. Okay, have a good Shabbos.